Hey everybody, hope you're having a good Friday. We got a new episode of the Phoenix MMA podcast. I'm really excited to do this one. I put a little teasers out on the Instagram story last night about it, but this one's a really important one. This might be one of the best ones or most important ones that I've done so far, and it's actually something that I rediscovered recently. Everybody's gone through this at some point where you learn something at an age, you get out of practice, or you get distracted with life. Generally, normal life behaviors they tend to sway you naturally into bad habits, not good habits. Good habits take discipline and practice to stay there. So, going to go over something really important: how to increase your dopamine and your serotonin naturally, and this should help your quality of life, and it should help your training, and help you achieve the goals that you're looking to do. Whether you want to win like a local tournament, a local fight, a world championship, a national championship, or you could use this would be a good example of how martial arts training can help you with other pieces of your life. So yeah, how to increase dopamine and serotonin. So where this podcast stemmed from, it's a couple different podcasts I was actually listening to, and then talking to people in the gym. But the big one, I like Jocko Willink. I like his podcast. He has good stuff. And there was one on motivation, actually. He had somebody email in, which his advice is actually good. But I do have a critique that he just probably just didn't go into it. Or maybe he actually can't break it down. The tough thing is, like, say if you're a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, sometimes there's a lot of times you do techniques and you do things that you don't realize that you do. And you don't always articulate it to your students. It's difficult once you get so far. If it's level 0 to 1,000, when you get to a level 1,000, it's a little bit hard. It's hard to understand, to quite remember what being at level 3 feels like and some of the pieces. So hopefully Gus can articulate this for you. His answer when he answered was, it was somebody was writing an email saying, you don't understand what it feels like to be not motivated and not driven and stuff like that, and not disciplined. And then Jocko's response was, well, you know, there's plenty of people that have disciplined parents and that they're raised in a disciplined household, but they're completely undisciplined. And you know, there's all these different scenarios, or, you know, vice versa, or however it goes, completely undisciplined family, the parents, but then the child becomes really disciplined. And he's talking about motivation, discipline. He's saying that he is correct. He was saying it comes from within. It has to come from within, which totally it does. It does have to come from within, and that's what this podcast is going to be all about. But we're going to be talking about the neuroscience of dopamine and serotonin, how it actually comes from within. So he's saying it comes from within. It's not really good advice to somebody who, if they're stuck, if they're in a position where they're not motivated and they're kind of stuck, it's kind of like, taking a jiu-jitsu class and just like, all right, just roll. And it's like, you don't give any instruction. You don't explain how to do a rear naked choke. You don't explain how to set it up, and you don't explain how to defend it. So, it's just not a good explanation saying that, it comes from within. It is true that it comes from within, but I'm going to break down some stuff for you. And this is actually a lesson that I learned really young. I learned it, really, really young, like by 16, 17, I knew it, but I didn't understand it. And I actually lost it for some time. I'm not going to say I lost it completely, because there are habits I had, but I got swayed and I got pulled by normal society, and it will mess up your training. It'll mess you up just in general. So, if you have something you don't quite understand how you got it, it's hard to articulate it. So, but gonna break that down. So that's where it came from, was Jocko podcast. So we're just gonna expound, go deeper than what he did on that one. That's on YouTube if you want to check it out. This is gonna be really, honestly, it's the secret to achieving large goals. There's lots of secrets. Like, one of my secrets I have is, like, you literally go to the part that you don't want to work on, that you're the most ignorant, and you do a deep dive on that, and you focus on it. So you find the part of you that is the worst, that's the weakest, you know, your biggest weakness, and you turn that liability into an asset. And you do that by just going hyper-focused on it, putting so much time into it, and that means you're going to lose a whole lot initially. But by putting that hyper-focus, it turns into it's twofold. You get rid of a liability and it becomes a new strength. So it's not just an increase of in one way. It's a double. It's a two-time increase. So I figured this out at a young age. Just going through my notes. Yeah, so I've had this question several times throughout my life, and it was always one that kind of confused me when people ask, because I was coming from a point of view, like it was hard for me to even understand the question because I didn't really conceptualize it or think it. But like I won my first world championships at 21 years old. My high school career wrestling, but athletic career and everything was really, my schedule was go to school, after school, go to wrestling practice, come home, do hill sprints or work out more, you know, eat, go to sleep. That was it. Go to the same thing. And then once I started jiu-jitsu, it was wrestling practice. After wrestling practice, eat a snack, drive about an hour to Nashville. I lived in the country outside of Franklin, but drive to Nashville about an hour, train, do multiple practices, do two practices, drive home, get home at, you know, 10 p.m., 10:30 p.m., go to sleep, go to school, and it was every single day. So I had, and I ended up, I won two national championships and two world championships by age, that was 22 total. But so I've had people ask, like, how did you have that drive? How did you have that focus? And again, I was so into it that I couldn't even understand the question. And I didn't, because I didn't understand other people's perspective. And then now I know where it is, because as life got better for me financially, just stability wise, and it's not like it's just amazing and, you know, can just spend money all the time. It's nothing like that. But I grew up, we grew up really poor. So like food stamps poor, like, you know, in school having food stamps, and the other kids are making fun of you when you're in the line because they see that you don't pay with money, you pay with a ticket, and all the kids know that, like, hey, that ticket that you're paying with means that you're poor and your parents can't afford to buy you food. So it's like, so that's how, like, to me, I was like, what do you mean? Like, I got no option. This is a common story when it comes to athletes and stuff. And a lot of people, they don't really understand. Again, it's just your perspective. Like, if you were raised and your refrigerator was always full, you always had food or you always had dinner, you can't even understand it. You can't understand it until you go through it. How it affects your mind, and the positives of it is it's extreme drive. It's very motivating, because it's necessity. It is one of the frustrating things when I hear that sometimes people are really judgmental over on really poor people and stuff. And it's like, until as a child you've had multiple nights where you haven't had dinner to eat, or the only dinner you had was just like two or three pieces of white bread. And we used to roll them up into balls because we would think that made it taste different. But you just have no idea. You just have no idea what that feels like. It makes when life feels good feel amazing. But it's definitely a tough way to come up. But so like with the motivation, the drive, it's like, why are you doing this? It's like, well, I was thinking, it's like, if I'm not a pro athlete, I'm not going to be successful in life. That's my only option. If I'm not a pro athlete. And me and my fiance were talking about this. Well, I was living with a single mom. She was working three jobs. It's like, you know, we didn't really have any assistance when it came to, I'm not complaining on this, it's just the scenario of what it was. Wasn't going to a good school system. You know, the neighborhood was not a good neighborhood, and didn't have good practices or assistance with doing homework or anything like that. So I just wouldn't do homework, and just would have barely passing. I assumed that I was really stupid. I thought it was just not very smart. So it was like, okay, sports, that's going to be the thing. I'm a good athlete. I love sports. That's going to be the only way I get out of this. So I'm going to put everything into it. And I worked and worked and worked. And then as I got older, I realized, like, oh, okay, I'm not stupid. I just didn't, I was never guided, when it came to schoolwork or homework or things like that. Again, not complaining, just part of it. So where did that motivation come from? It came from necessity. Necessity is so important. I've talked to people all the time, and we have so many different people. I mean, I've a really, really diverse group of friends, like from super poor to super wealthy to just everything. And humans, like, everybody has a bad set up no matter what, like, grew, like, lived a couple houses down from a crypt house, like a gang house, and then lived in You know, like people with multi-million dollar houses, the really rich people complain because they don't have any necessity and drive because they're not forced upon it. And then the really poor complain because they have so much necessity and drive, or so much necessity because they can't eat. So it's difficult for everybody. Everybody is trying to calibrate, and being a human's not easy. It's homeostasis is really hard to maintain. But yeah, I'm just giving you my side, or when people ask me that question. Yeah, super poor. Yeah, mom, single mom, you know, three jobs, just trying to, three jobs, and was like, you know, we would lose our housing pretty consistently, and then we'd have to move, and then we moved schools a whole lot. So, yeah, that created necessity. And then the other thing about, the time period, the time it was in, and then also just the low income, and this is actually the key. This is the one that is the hardest now. And Robert Greene actually talks about this in depth in the book Mastery, where he talks about, genius or high achievers of an older time period, kind of an advantage they had is there were less distractions. You know, the even when it comes to food and things, like an old saying is like, you never go into war on a full stomach. Like you wouldn't want to go compete or fight with your stomach completely full. You produce more serotonin, then get more satiated, and you're more relaxed. Same thing with if all your needs are met. And Robert Greene discussed that nowadays there's so many distractions, and there's so many ways to meet your needs. So you can basically, it's the problem is you can just shortcut your dopamine and serotonin. It's just way too easy now to shortcut it. And the shortcuts don't actually help you with your life goals in any way. But they do give you a pop. It causes your brain to produce serotonin and dopamine, and you have to rest. You have to sleep, and you have to have correct nutrients to replenish them. But you can express too much of it. You know, if you take too much MDMA, you'll deplete all your serotonin. You'll be suicidal. You know, you maybe if you've just done this from too much caffeine, drinking too much coffee, you'll get a headache, but you're just, you know, one or two cups, you feel pretty good. Your dopamine is going, you get motivated, you're driven, you're excited. You get too much, and then you start, you know, you run out of dopamine, you're depleting it. So there's all these distractions that you don't realize. Like, this is the part I'm saying, like, that Jocko didn't explain is, the within, and I'm sure that this is his lifestyle, because I like his podcast, his lifestyle, he gets rid of all these dopamine, serotonin shortcuts, and you get them a natural, organic way, much healthier, much more satisfying, and gives you a better life, and sets you up. They're not as easy to get, but when you get rid of all the shortcuts seem so cool, but the shortcuts jack everything up. They mess up your long-term goals, and they make you feel, they give you a hangover from it. Shouldn't give you a hangover, because you should be getting it a natural, healthy dosage. The biggest thing on this, the really this podcast we're going to go over, is distractions and how you have to eliminate and you have to destroy them. It can't be 99%. Like, it's got to, they have to be gone, or at least most people, myself and most people that are into this or actually adopt it, and they start using it, they realize, yeah, you just have to get rid of the distractions. You know, you can have them a couple times a year or a handful of times a year, but the distractions, like, from growing up poor, cable didn't exist. Like, you got three TV channels, and the signal doesn't even come in very well. So, watching TV is not even fun. It's not entertaining. So yeah, just never watch TV. Watched the Andy Griffith Show before I went to bed. Like, that was it. It's like, yeah. But I had, like, three TV channels. Not having any social, social fun things. Like, and again, with this, I'm not saying that you have to cut all the social fun things out. And just right now, this part, I'm breaking down how it was easy for me to train so much and focus on winning tournaments and things. The social fun things that it says, like, my parents didn't give me a $100 a week allowance or something like that, or just, you know, a debit card. Like, hey, go, you know, there was never a time, go to the mall and go, and the school that I went to in the Franklin Cool Springs area, it's very affluent, very high income. That was the norm, and it still is right now. But yeah, there was never a time like, here, you know, this is your amount of money. Go to the mall, go shopping. There was never like, hey, drop you off at the movie theater, go see a movie. It just, it just wasn't there, wasn't possible. Every once in a while I'll go get clothes, every once in a while I'll go to a movie and stuff, but it was really rare. It was not a normal thing. Most kids where I grew up, or I lived in a really, really ghetto neighborhood, and then we moved out to the country, so we had a mix of both. But when living close to like Franklin area, that was a normal thing where just getting to go out and shop and stuff, but didn't have that, so didn't have that distraction. That gives you a dopamine boost, that gives you a serotonin boost, getting to go shop. It's hard to go to a grueling wrestling practice when the other option is to go to the mall and hang out with your friends and then go to the movies on a Tuesday just for no reason. You did nothing to achieve it, you did nothing as a reward or anything. You just live and your parents like, here you go, just go do this. You really make it hard. You make it hard for your children to work on delayed gratification and to reach really high goals. Because to reach really high goals, it's competitive. It's very difficult to do, and there are a lot of people that want those professions, titles, goals, whatever, championships. And so again, it's you do want rewards though. So it's not like you can't have anything, but rewards are tied to good behaviors or beneficial, like good behaviors. But yeah, didn't have that. Didn't have expendable junk food. Just again, not a lot of food. So the food that was the food we had was the food we had. You eat it, you get full. But there was yeah, with that, like if you're eating sugary stuff like that, you get a boom. Like if you eat a ton of cake, stuff like that, you get a big boost of serotonin when you're thinking about the cake and you're going and you're cutting into that cake or grabbing that. You get a dopamine boost initially to get you excited, and then after that you get the serotonin. The serotonin relaxes you, it makes you feel satiated and calms you down. But so that's going to be one of the things later on I'm talking about. Don't eat cake midday, don't eat dessert midday, save your dessert for the end of the day when you've accomplished everything, you've knocked out your list for the day. Yeah, we didn't have internet. Internet's a huge distraction. That was a time period thing as well, but also just where we lived, didn't have internet, or smartphone. So those are some big distractions. Gotta eliminate, or you gotta control them, or they'll control you and they'll mess you up. Yeah, the problems with with distractions is that they short circuit your dopamine and serotonin. So they give you super doses of those. It causes your brain to produce it, and so what it will do is, like, your brain is dopamine is related. It affects with like your hypothalamus, and your hypothalamus is for exploratory and trying, setting new goals and achieving new goals. It gives you a really good feeling. Like, dopamine feels really good. Security gives you dopamine. When you notice that your body starts looking better, when you start getting on a good routine, like working towards a goal gives you dopamine. Caffeine, all these things. It also makes you really happy. It's an important part of life. Is having a good amount of dopamine. So the problem is there's so many short circuits that we have, and these little cheat codes that we can hit. And these cheat codes, naturally, we have like these receptors. Naturally, you have these receptors in the brain, and when you perform the correct action, you get an appropriate dose, makes you feel good, gives your life happiness and meaning, and you feel good. But the problem is, as we've as society's just gotten better, luckily with food and technology and everything, we can give these dopamine and we can give dopamine to ourselves just way too easy. And the problem is that it's your logical brain versus your emotional brain that are trying to fight. And your emotional brain, your animal side, like instinctual brain, it's stronger than your logical brain. Your logical brain is smarter, but your animal side is stronger. And your animal side wants dopamine. It constantly wants dopamine. And what it's going to do is, if it has two options of going to the gym, or let's say it has two options: losing 30 pounds, it's going to take you 6 months to a year to do, or eat cake or play video games, it's going to go to the dopamine It's gonna it goes to the easiest dopamine because it wants dopamine. So when you have those options around, when you have the easy options, you're gonna get pulled to them. It's gonna it will consume your thoughts. You're gonna if it's there, it's gonna mess you up. And then what happens is it distracts you from your actual long term goal. That your logical brain, every New Year's you write down your logical goals, it distracts you from that. It doesn't allow you to get to it because you get satiated from the you get that initial dopamine. You get also a serotonin bump. You get satiated, and then you're next thing you know, you're watching another series of a TV show, or you're playing video games for 6 more hours, and you're like, man, I'm not getting anything done that I actually want to get done. So yeah, the tricky thing with dopamine is it feels good. It feels great. I mean, cocaine, meth, all these things, dopamine, short circuits for dopamine, cocaine, caffeine, bad food, reproduction, video games, TV, tobacco, alcohol. It's really easy for you to go on a drinking binge or play video games for 4 or 5 hours straight. All of these things on that list, they're really easy to do. Why? Because they automatically produce dopamine, and your instinctual brain is looking for dopamine. It's looking, it's hunting for it, it's hunting for it, and it has a ton of energy. It's gonna hunt for the dopamine. So, again. Going to the gym and lifting, or going to the gym and training and doing reps on techniques that you need and sparring, that takes more effort. You have to get up. You have to leave the house. You actually have to go commit an hour, hour and a half to that training session. Or you can just power up the video game. Boom. You get as strong, maybe stronger from the video game, because video game programmers know what they're doing, and they program in, we're going to talk about it in just a second, but they program things to keep you getting that dopamine drip. Or it could be TV. I'm amazed at how many people keep up with 5, 6 TV series, and it's just nonstop. It's like, how do you have time to do that? Why watch other people live life? Like, live your own life. I fall into the video game addiction category. I think it's been 3 weeks now since I've played a video game, but for me, video games are a drug. They are a drug, and they have to just be cut out. I can't allow it at all. But everything, my training's better, my life, family life, everything's better. More organized, everything, when I get rid of it. Sleep's better, everything, just by eliminating video games. But you know, everybody has their different drug of choice. So video games, the one I have to get rid of, and we'll go into that just a little bit. But clean version of dopamine, setting new goals, moving towards a goal, physical security. So you feel good if you feel like you're not going to be harmed, or you can protect yourself. Climbing the skill or competency ladder. Achieving your goal actually doesn't give you a bump of dopamine. The big surge of dopamine you get is by setting goals. Setting goals, and as you notice that you're moving towards those goals, they give you dopamine. If you've noticed it, whether you've achieved a goal or like a video game, you beat a video game, you instantly throw it to the side, you get done. So the reason why these video games, Fortnite and all these things, it's the same game on repeat, but why they constantly create new skins and things is they need people to get more excited about it. They're just streaming you a new drug, a new variant of the drug over and over and over. Same thing with the drug version. Whether, you know, you could be nihilistic and be like, well, then you're just saying your life is constantly creating new goals and achieving those goals, creating those new goals and achieving those goals. Yes, absolutely it is. But that's a healthier, better human version. And you're going to be happy with what you achieve at the end of your life, as opposed to just relying on video games and alcohol to get that dopamine. But for me, I need to understand the mechanics of things, or the neuroscience. Once I understand it, it's easier for me to follow it. If somebody just tells me to do something, harder for me to learn it or follow that. Same thing with jiu-jitsu, same thing with Muay Thai. I understand how the techniques work, why they work, and then easier to implement. So those clean versions. So you want to have more of the clean versions than the... Then the shortcuts, the achieving the goal doesn't actually give you the dopamine. That's why if you played a video game or something like that, once you beat it, you're done. You set it to the side. You're looking for a new one. So you will always have to create new goals. They need to be big goals. They need to be goals that get you excited, get you a little bit scared, stretch you. You need something that on the days where it's kind of slow and it's kind of gray outside, that gets you pumped up and you still want to go. So you need goals that stretch you. They need to excite you. They need to scare you a little bit. The problem, got the note. Yeah, the logical brain versus the animal instinctual brain or emotional brain. The logical brain works off willpower. Willpower depletes pretty quickly. There's psychological studies actually where like people like Steve Jobs and stuff, the reason why they wear the same clothing every day is the more decisions a person has to make throughout a day, their willpower actually lowers. Willpower lowers. It gets harder to make correct decisions the more decisions you have to make throughout your day. So you want to trim a lot of the fat out of your day and just eliminate things that aren't really actually important to you, that are taking up bandwidth. The instinctual brain, the animal side, it has a large energy capacity because it's the survival. It's the thing that keeps you alive. It gets tired when it needs food and it needs rest, and then it's right back, like good to go. It's the reason why you can see someone who's like, you know, addicted to meth or coke, and it's destroying their body, but they just keep on going. And the same thing with video games. Video games or weed or alcohol, it's destroying the person's life, but they just keep on going with it because it's giving them that dopamine boost, and the instinctual part of your brain, the animal side, it's just much stronger than your logical side. Your logical side steers you and it sets your actual goals, but your animal side, what you want to do is you want to sync them up together. You want to sync them up together because your animal side is it's your horsepower, and your logical side is your brain, obviously, and it's going to steer where you want to go. So you want them to work together. You don't want them to be working against each other. So you just have to make some modifications and some diet and behavior modifications, and then they'll sync up together, and then you put your progress into hyperdrive. Cool thing. Dopamine is an analgesic, so it's going to modulate pain. It's going to lower pain. It lowers pain. Opioids lower pain, but cocaine and stimulants also lower pain. Because they bump up your dopamine, you'll see this in athletes if they break a hand or something like that, or blow out their knee or something like that. If they're really focused in a sport, they can train or compete through injuries after that, the injury sets in. Dopamine's an analgesic, and if you've ever noticed that dopamine's an analgesic. So if you've ever noticed that you're really focused on a goal and you're living with a purpose, this is really common with the military, when the military get out of service, oftentimes will fall into depression, and depression is, it's psychological pain, can manifest into physical pain as well. So people with clinical depression will have back pains, like severe back pains, things like that. But so dopamine is an analgesic, and when you're really focused, you're really driven on a goal, you have a life purpose, you feel less psychological and physical pain. The problem with that is just think dopamine, it's whatever you're getting it from. So if it's your life purpose, you're trying to win a world championship, you'll feel less psychological, physical pain. But also video games do the same thing to you. Tobacco will do the same thing to you. Everybody knows this, when they get stressed out, you're getting psychological pain. You smoke a cigarette, boom, dampens that. But the problem is you're getting your dopamine from something that isn't really helping you in your life. So it's taken away the potential dopamine that you could sync up with things that would help you in your life, or the serotonin that also would help you in life from the satiation that you're getting. Let's see. Yeah, so serotonin. Serotonin shortcuts, sugary food, weed, reproduction, video games, achieving video game rewards. So video games are really good about it. The programmers know what they're doing when they create a lot of levels and rewards. Serotonin is constantly, your brain is constantly figuring where you are in the hierarchical ladder in your in society in general. And it sucks. It makes you feel bad, but your body is constantly kind of like, it's like a thermometer. And the better that your brain is reporting to yourself that you're doing, the more serotonin you get. So you get more of that satisfied situation. It's one of the tough things when you get into a downward spiral where it's harder because you're producing less serotonin. And so it's hard to feel in like a relaxed or comfortable state. It's kind of interesting, like how maybe it can be an evolutionary tool or like a natural biological tool to get you moving and get you moving your body and working and stuff. But when you get into a really deep hole, it's difficult. But all these shortcuts, serotonin is going to make you feel it makes you feel more relaxed, makes you feel accomplished, makes you feel satiated. Healthy ways to do it, achieving a goal. So you don't get a dopamine bump when you achieve a goal, but you get a serotonin bump. Feels great. Nice happiness. Good. You did something that you set your goals on. So don't worry on the first part. If you listen, you're like, oh no, achieving my goals gives you nothing. No, it gives you serotonin and that puts a smile on your face and makes it easy for you to go to sleep at the end of the day. Massages. There's a lot of different things to do this, different types of dietary, like, L-tryptophan. You can look up, amino acids, things like that. Intense exercise. So when you get done with really intense, cardiovascular, exercise, you'll feel that nice, serotonin little, push that you'll get, where you just feel nice and relaxed. Some people call it the runner's high. Yeah, you're getting serotonin. That's what's giving you that nice little feeling when you get done. Good family or friend interactions. So, you know, stuff like that. It's healthy to have healthy family life. Yeah, feelings of satiation. So what I'm suggesting to do to help you out with this, the first thing is going to be schedule your daily dopamine and your serotonin with healthy versions and at the correct time. So what I like to do is dopamine in the morning. It feels good, energizes you, motivates you. So what that could be, I still do drink coffee. I don't cut out caffeine, but dopamine in the morning is a cup of coffee, writing down to-do lists, writing down goals, reviewing goals, writing out training programs, classes, again, whatever it is, but things to achieve in that day. Just so you know, writing it down is really important and checking it off is really important. Might seem silly to you, but your brain, when you check off, when you achieve that, that task for the day and you grab your schedule and your planner and you check it off, you get a little bump of dopamine from that. Way better, bump of dopamine from that than another loading up another round of, Fortnite, because you're actually achieving something in your life when you check that off of your schedule. Dopamine in the morning feels good, energizes you, and motivates you. And then I like serotonin at night. It relaxes you and it's satisfying, relaxes. So that's going to be family life. Maybe it's a massage. I like the Theragun massage. That's a more affordable way to do it if you can't afford a massage. Hot tub, spending time with your family, relaxing. If you want to have cake, like eat your cake at the end of the day, before you're going to sleep. Don't eat cake in the middle of the day. You'll get that serotonin bump in the middle of the day, and then it's going to be hard for you to go do the rest of, if you do it midday, the rest of all the tasks that you have to do, that'll make you really cranky if you got a nice relaxed state and then you have to get back ramped up. Program it with healthy behaviors, dopamine in the morning, serotonin at night. Lots of people mix that up the other way. They'll do tobacco late at night and that energizes you, pumps you up, and then have a hard time sleeping. It's like, all right, there we go. That's a simple one. So this is the biggest part that you actually have to do, and it's the hardest part. It's easily the hardest part because of just everything that we have. It's awesome that we have everything that we do in society. Technology is amazing, but it's gotten to the point where it's actually unhealthy for us and it's bad for us, and it's going to make it hard for you to achieve the things that you want to. You have to delete the distractions. Your logical brain just can't overpower your animal brain. So like for me personally, it's video games. I just had to get rid of my Xbox. I had to delete Xbox Live, get rid of it, you know, get rid of the account, get rid of the Xbox. That's it. It has to be gone. It has to be gone too. Like it has to. I'm actually trying to sell my Xbox right now. I'm trying to sell it super cheap, but I don't have I can't get on and play my Xbox because I don't have an Xbox Live account. You have to make it difficult for you to do it. If it's right there, you know, if it's a video game or if it's a TV series or something like that, if it's something that you can get really quick, when you wake up in the morning, when your logical brain saying, okay, we want to get this done, we want to do this, we want to lose 20 pounds, we want to do all this. If you have these distractions, like if you have cake in your house, it can't be there. You have to get rid of it. You have the video game. Your animal side, your brain is going to want to get the dopamine. So it's so hard for you to do, to use those healthy versions if the unhealthy, easy version is present, if it's there. Because what will happen is your mind will actually consume, it will consume your thoughts. It will drive you towards it because that's what it wants. And if you're playing video games, it will consume your thoughts. When you need to be thinking about how to set up, you know, your high kick or how to work on a new takedown or how to set up a new submission. Instead, you're thinking about achievements on a video game to get or missions to get, or if you're watching a TV series or something like that, you're thinking about, oh no, what's going to happen, you know, this new, you know, whatever. And again, I'm not saying you can't do anything at all, but maybe 5 or 6 TV series, like this is too much. Instead of trying to problem solve with things that you actually like to do or your actual goals, you're problem solving and your downtime, your subconscious and stuff is working on these things that you don't actually care about, and you know deep down that you don't actually care about them. Again, I'm talking from my own experience and just talking to myself because rediscovered this shortly or not long ago, and it's helping my training and my energy levels like a ridiculous amount. Yeah, you have to delete them. If it's Xbox or a PlayStation, you got to get rid of it. If you got 5 TV shows, you maybe just have to just cut the TV shows out. If it's tobacco, alcohol, like if you can't stop yourself, like if you have that draw, you can't have alcohol in the house. It just has to be gone. Yeah, your brain will go to the easier dopamine or serotonin. And yeah, it's going to make it hard for you to achieve what you actually want to because you're given the short answers, the short circuit version of them. Let's see. Yeah, examples again. I know I'm hammering it over and over, but playing video games or watching TV, you know, for 4 or 5 hours, and serotonin, eating cake midday, easy examples. But yeah, it leads to you being unhappy because you're also confused because every time you get motivated and you really think about it, you write down your goals, you have these big goals that you want to do, and you start to think that there's something wrong with you, that you're just a loser or you're a person who can't. Well, you know, Jocko Willink says it comes from within, so I guess I just don't have good genetics, and because I don't have good genetics, you know, that's not, you know, I'm not a Jocko, I'm not a LeBron James, that's not me. You know, woe is me. And then you just sink into your couch and you get depressed and you get unhappy and you're confused about it. But yeah, hope this episode helped you out. That's it. Like, eliminate them. You know, the emo straight edge kids back in the day actually were onto something. Yeah, then, you know, with alcohol, I'm not saying you're terrible if you drink or anything like that. It's just if you want to maximize being able to achieve the goals that you want to achieve. If you're hitting your goals and you're in a good spot, not a problem. And if you can deal with the moderation and control it, not a problem. I can't do that with video games. Like alcohol for me, I can easily only drink like maybe 4 to 6 times a year, and it's not very difficult for me to do that at all. But everybody has their thing. Mine is video games. Yours might be alcohol. Yours might be cake. It might be, you know, I mean, cake's my thing too. I can't have cake in the house. If it's in the house, I will eat it. So I have to make sure that cake is at the grocery store, and I have to drive there and get it, and I just get it on special occasions for cheat meals. But Yeah, hope you like this episode. Hope it helps you out. Again, try it for like a solid month and see. You'll notice how your head clears up, your sleep will get better, and whatever you're trying to focus on and get better in life, you'll start noticing it'll kind of start taking on your thoughts a little bit more, actually way more, and you'll start solving things. You'll start coming up with new moves, new techniques. Whatever you're trying to work on, you'll come up with new plans and challenge yourself. Set good big goals, enter competitions, do things that make you scared, and stretch yourself. And that's why I put the Billy the Kid scene in there. You got to test yourself every day. If he's like pretty tough, he's like, if you don't test yourself, that's when you get slow, and that's when they kill you. But these sayings are all the time. You know, the sayings. Lots of people they die at 80, but you know, they stop living at 25, and that's a not a good place to be. So and if you're there, you might think, or if you've been there, you might think that it's just you. It's not just you. It's just little pitfalls and stuff, and you just gotta avoid those. People like Jocko Willink, or I like Tim Kennedy too. They're not playing any video games. They're not doing that stuff. It's a I saw a podcast and Tim Kennedy said it's been several years since he's had any type of hard liquor, and like that sounds crazy if you're drinking consistently, but when you get past it, several years past it, it feels so clean. It feels good for your body and your brain just to be clean. So I hope you enjoyed this podcast. Let me know what you think, and I'll see everybody on Monday in the gym. We got March 7th, Grappling Games in Clarksville, getting ready for. And then February 29th, I have a combat jiu-jitsu event in Crossville, Tennessee. It's in a historic theater, so it's going to be pretty cool. Let me know if you want tickets to go to that. Yeah, hope you enjoyed this podcast. See you, everybody. Have a good weekend.